temporary stay, but I'm looking forward to the time when all of heaven will be mine. I'll watch and pray, for it could be any day. For my home is just around the bend. I think about it now and then. Reunions by the millions everywhere. But the
appreciate Brother Robinson, appreciate the Robinson, their families. I'm going to have him introduce, he introduced the men folk. Well, when he gets over here, and what I like about Brother Robinson, come on down. Oh, you got your Bible? You got everything ready to go? Where is it all? You got it all up here, ready to go? Whatever he does, whether it's playing that piano or preaching, this man gets into it, amen? We appreciate you loving our pastor and being a friend to him and our church. Thank you so much. You preach to us.
Okay. All right. See if I got, did I get her?
Usually I don't have to mess with two. Oh, got it. Hey, man, I did good first time around. Praise God. The rest of the preaching time, we don't know what will happen. But, boy, I'm so glad to be here. Love your preacher. I really do. Thank you so much for allowing us the privilege of being here. Of course, you saw my wife. She sang, and you heard her. And then we've been married 42. This coming March will be 43 years. And then this is Dora, my daughter-in-law. I saw her for the first time at Golden State Baptist College. I saw her. She was up in the balcony, and because it was on old Clyde Avenue property, and so we were up there, and we didn't know too many people. Your preacher, I was telling most people, he invited me to come down to the front of the bus when he first met me. He told me I didn't have to sit in the back of the bus. We don't make you folks do that anymore. And so, but I was up in the balcony, and I realized this: when he got around more people, he didn't want me around him. And but. But Dora was up there, and I looked at my wife, and I said, that's who my son needs to marry. I'd never met her. Didn't know her. Nothing about her. And I said, but that's who my son needs to marry right there. And years later, they finally got married. And I never told her, never told him until afterwards, because I didn't want them to think I was leading them and guiding them. But father knows best. Father knows best. And well, we've enjoyed having her, of course, in our family and stuff. And right now, you know, of course, I tease her about being a Lopez, and she'll just say, I'm a Robinson. And you got to have that kind of pride to be a Robinson. Amen. And we just have, as a matter of fact, the grandsons, we were getting ready today, and I said, you're a Robinson? And yeah. And we just have fun with that. And of course, Ray Ray, right? Stand up, Ray Ray. That's he's got the more swagger than all of them. So they rest of them, they come through the house, you know, clobbing around. Just kind of, I mean, it's like, man, can't you guys walk any quieter? And, but Ray Ray, go ahead and have a seat there. Ray Ray comes through the house. I said, that's a real Robinson right there, man, I'm telling you. They're going to pick up on him after a while, but we just have a fun time. And, of course, you know, little D right there, that's little D because he's named after me. And I'm glad that he is. I tease him a lot and stuff like that, and he gets frustrated. I just like to see him get angry. I really, really do. One of these days he's going to blow his top, and all that afro is going everywhere. And... And of course, that's Joseph Elijah Thomas. His middle name, one of his middle names is Thomas, which is named after me also. So he got the first name, he got the middle name, and then that's Ray Ray, like I said. He's named after his dad. And really, he got the most swagger, but I want nothing to do with him anyway. And then this is Christopher, who we were trying to name Ippolito. His grandfather on his other side, that's his first name. And his mama and his grandmother said, don't nobody want that name. So so we called him Christopher. And we have fun, love being around my daughter-in-law's, and we call her daughter, but be around her family. We love her family and stuff. So you say, preacher, why you love her family? They can cook. They can cook. Every time her mom comes up, nobody goes in the kitchen but her mom, and they just cook. I mean, we have all of the carne asada, the tamales, and all. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Starting to feel it come on me. Praise God. Hey, I had to get up for a minute here, and I used it as an excuse to go into the restroom, and I did go in there. But I'm telling you, that song, what was the name of that song again, the choir sang? Holy what? Holy is he. Man, I'm telling you, one second, I'm Baptist-costal. Praise God. Man, that thing, that's my soul. I know sometimes I raise my hand and folks are saying, is he okay? Man, I'm telling you, that song, that's awesome right there. And man, I just thank God. And I got to get done. What time we need to be done? I did good this morning, didn't I? What time we need to be done right now? About right at 12 o'clock is what you're saying? 12 o'clock, that's what time you normally get out? That's the reason why they're not preaching, right? Amen. About 12 probably, like most people there. Okay, so we got 25 minutes. We're going to run right through this thing, and I know it's going to be a blessing. I didn't come here to fix anything, correct anything. I came here to just fire you up. And what I mean by that is God is good to me. And I just want to share with you how good he is to all of us. Take your Bibles real quickly and go to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1, if you don't mind. And if you can, why don't you go ahead and stand in honor of God's word and honor of God's word. And today I'm just going to preach from this thought. Keep it the same, Shasta Baptist Church. Keep it the same, Shasta Baptist Church. Romans chapter 1, if you don't mind. Romans chapter number 1. Keep it the same, Shasta Baptist Church. Amen. Romans chapter number 1, look at verse number 14. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to, get this, preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Father bless now, I pray, help me now just to take a few moments to just help Shasta Baptists to know they're on track. I know they know that, but I just want to encourage a minute to say, keep it the same. And dear God, I hope they'll understand what needs to be kept the same. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Go ahead and be seated if you don't mind. There's a little phrase right there in verse number 16. And the Bible says here, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We could, of course, kept on reading in there, but I want you to understand something here. Things are changing nowadays. A lot of stuff. It's not just this preaching of the gospel, but I mean a lot of stuff are changing. Churches no longer have the same standards. They no longer live separated lives. I mean, things are just different nowadays. And the reason why they're different is because we think we have to keep up with the world. We don't have to keep up with the world. We got to stay in the word. Somebody say amen. The word is where we get our direction from, our methods from, all the stuff that we, now again, when I say methods, understand, I know times change. We used to take and have a can with a string, and now we've got cell phones. I understand all of that, but I'm just trying to tell some of you saying, preacher, I never had a can with a string, and now some of you, that's the reason why, again, our kids have no imagination. We played with cans and string. Our phones didn't work. We really understood something. We were trying to do all things we could to pull on that string. And we said, can you hear me now? And the person on the other end would say, I can hear you. They couldn't hear through that can. Praise God. But we got our cell phones now and stuff like that. Things are changing. I want to say, Shasta Baptist, keep it the same. Amen. Don't let the world change you. And you say, preacher, we're not going to change. I'm telling you something. Keep supporting your preacher while he talks about the power of the gospel. Amen. Keep supporting your preacher while he keep telling you that the gospel is for anybody who would take and believe in Jesus Christ. Keep supporting your preacher. Amen. Support the church. Support the ministry. Keep it the same, Shasta Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. By the way, I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. You heard the old saying, I'm a Baptist from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Amen. I'm a Baptist. No matter what the rest of the world does, I'm going to be a Baptist. Baptist identifies me. Now understand something here. It's not because I'm a Baptist that I keep it the same. You heard the old saying, somebody asked, how many Methodists does it take to change a light bulb? And then somebody said, how many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? And somebody said, how many Baptists does it take to change a light bulb? And somebody said, hold on, wait a minute. Baptists don't change light bulbs. Why? Because Baptists don't change. Come on, somebody. Amen. We don't change. If they burn out, we don't change them. Amen, somebody. Hey, guess what? We need to keep it the same. Amen. So important that you and I decide today that we're going to preach this gospel the way it is. We're going to teach it the way the Bible gave it to us. And I want to share something with you about the power. And when we get to the end, that's where the shouting comes in at. You say, preacher, you got a shouting already. Hold on. They said when I was growing up, hold my mule. Amen. Well, I shout a little while. And so let's do this. Go to the book of Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. I want to say again, thank you, preacher. And I thank Mrs. Johnson for being here today. She could have pretended to be sick. She could and any sort of thing to stay away from this old loudmouth Baptist preacher, but she came because my wife showed up. Amen. And I praise God. My wife and Mrs. Johnson, they always look at each other going, whatever he said or I said, they just look at each other and say, how did we get into this? Galatians 1, I want you to get something here now. Galatians 1, go down to verse number 6. We got to keep moving here. Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the gospel of Christ unto, get this, another gospel. Which is not, get this here, another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. For though we, this is the good part now, this is what we got to get to. We or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be a curse. So here's what he basically said here. I want you to get this now. You and I need to keep it the same. Don't let it be changed. And if some angel from heaven comes trying to change it, he says, let him be a curse. He says, if there comes some preacher, some evangelist along, try to take and change it, let him be a curse. And by the way, if some pastor, Paul is even trying to help him understand, comes with some other gospel, let him be a curse. Basically, what he's saying is this. I don't care if it's a preacher. I don't care if it's a pastor. I don't care if it's from heaven. He said, guess what? Don't listen to him. That's another gospel. And there is no other gospel. Amen. You don't change. By the way, let me just put it to this way. If some pastor or some preacher come preaching another gospel, I doubt whether or not they're saved. I'll say it again. There's only one gospel. Amen. And we got to take the gospel of the book so we can take and have salvation in our lives. Amen. And so he said, don't let them change it. Don't let them take and redirect you in another direction. And he said, it's happening. I'm surprised you are so soon removed. I'm surprised you've been taken out of the way of this truth. That's what he said. Now, guess what I'm trying to say? It can happen if we just kind of let things happen. This is not something done by accident. The Christian life is something that's done on purpose. I got saved on purpose. It wasn't an accident. Amen. It wasn't all of a sudden I woke up one morning and said, "Pooh, I think I'm saved." And the Christian life is that way, and the preaching of the gospel is that way. Man, if you and I don't take and do what God said do when it comes to this book here, listen to me now. People are going to be lost and dying and going to a burning hell. And what's that? If we don't do it, preach the gospel. The gospel, that's the good news. Oh, man, I like good news. Amen. How many in here say I love getting good news? I've got enough bad news. But the good news of the gospel, what I want to get to here real quickly. I want you to write some things down. Are you still with me? Say amen. First thing I want you to write down here is the singleness of the gospel. There's only one gospel, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's not a plural gospel. It's not part of the gospel. It's not a portion of the gospel. It's not a piece of the gospel. It's all of the gospel. Only one gospel. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the light. Come on, help me, somebody. Jesus said, I am the door. In other words, there's no other door to go through. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. So here's what I'm trying to say. When it comes to the gospel, don't let anybody come with another gospel. There's only one gospel. Amen. Listen to me here real quickly. I don't care how you came. If you didn't come through the gospel, then you can't be saved. What I mean by that is this. It's not the water. It's not the wafer, and it's not the good works.
That's right.
Amen, somebody. How do you get saved, preacher? By the word. I'll say it again. It's not the water, it's not the wafer, it's not the works, but it's by the word. Amen. Preacher, what do you mean by that? Please understand something here. The Bible says that you and I got saved when we listened to the facts. When we listen to the facts of who we were. By the way, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We listen to the facts of that. We understand that because of the facts of being a sinner, there's a sentence on sin. For the wages of sin is death. Somebody help me now. In other words, I'm not trying to get you to shout over that by the way of that, but it's the truth of the gospel, amen.
Amen.
You're saying amen to the truth, not amen to whoever's a sinner and amen to whoever deserves the sentence. But understand something here. Because of the sin and because of the sentence, God knew we needed a Savior. Hallelujah. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm on shouting ground now. Amen. Thank God for loving me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Praise God. God said, you see yourself a sinner, you see the sentence, and you see the Savior, and then hear what God said. And I made it simple.
Amen.
I made it simple. I don't get too ahead of myself. But God is saying, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it being hard. I made it simple for you. Which I want you to write it down here. I want you to write down the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of the gospel. The Bible says to everyone that believe it. The simplicity of it is to everyone that believe it. You say, preacher, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Notice it said, believe it. That's the N on the word believe is an E, a T, and an H. Are you with me? Whoever believeth. See, sometimes people say, well, somebody believes, but now they don't believe. That means they didn't believe it. Amen. See, understand something. And by the way, salvation is not when you say you got it. Salvation is when God said he gave it. You, amen. I can't save you. You can't save you. If we could save ourselves, we'd have went through and done it without coming to God. So God said, whosoever believe it. And so when somebody says, well, I don't believe it anymore, God says, I knew they never would. See, you got to understand something. God knows everything. And he didn't give out salvation and say, oh, I shouldn't have gave it to them. I made a mistake. Oh, by the way, if there's a mistake in him, I don't even know why we're trusting him.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. And so God says, it's simplicity of it. Whosoever believes. To who? Listen to me now. God says, you see here the singleness of it. You see here the simplicity of it. And you see here the scope of it. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know what God just said here? You're going to like this one. I hope you do. Get this here. I know you've been in junior church and all this. And they start saying, Jesus loved the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black. Yeah, he like y'all too. Hey, man. Red, yellow, black, brown, and white. We say amen. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loved the little children of the world. Oh, yeah. He loved the little children. My grandchildren got saved as young people. He loved the, so like me, I got saved as a young people. God loved the young adults. She got saved when she came. I knew she needed to come to our church anyway. That's when she got saved finally. And but got saved. God loved the adults. God loves everybody. Listen to me, I don't care what size you are. God loves you. I don't care what color you are. God loves you. I don't care what your intellectual level is. God loves you. But he don't just love you. He wants you to say, I'm not willing that any should perish. Man, I tell you, keep it the same. Don't change it. Don't put out here. Don't put out here on your front door. I hope you never do. Say whites only. Matter of fact, if you do, I'm burning it down myself. Praise God. Say, preacher, you'll go to jail. I'll go to jail satisfied. Because we got to keep it the same. Keep it the same. But here's what I wanted to really get to. I didn't talk about it. He says the power of the gospel. So you see the singleness of it. You see the simplicity from it. You see the scope of it. But I want you to see the strength of it. Whew. See, I know where I'm going. Can I just run for myself right now? Whew. I'm talking about the strength of it. Listen to me if you don't mind. The Bible tells us, and I got to hurry up real quickly, tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:22. 1 Corinthians 15 and 22. The Bible says, as in Adam, all die. But in Christ, we're all made alive. And so I begin to ask God, what do you mean by in Adam, all die? But in Christ, we're made alive. But I want you to understand, like Christ, he's alive for. I'm talking about the strength of the gospel. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? I got to take you all the way back now to the beginning. In the beginning when God had created the heaven and the earth. And the Bible says over there in chapter number 2 that God looked at the man. After he had made him, of course, on the sixth day, he looked at the man and he said to the man, it's not good for you to be alone. And so what he did was, the Bible said, is that he caused the man to go to sleep. And he took and opened up his side. And from his side, he took a rib out. And he took that rib and he made the woman. Are you still with me? Say amen. Boy, I'm telling you something here. You heard the old story why he said woman, because he looked at it, he said, whoa, man. Hey, man. And so he saw, he got that woman. But in Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible says that the woman was talking to the devil. And it wasn't her husband. And she was talking to the devil. And the devil was trying to convince her to eat the fruit that over in Genesis 2, God says, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. The day you eat of it, you shall what? Surely die. And so she talking to that old devil. And while she's talking to that devil, she began to look at that fruit. I don't know what kind of fruit it was. The experts know what it is. I don't. But I know what she said. That look good. Now, I'm not an expert on that fruit, but I look at some food sometimes, I say, that look good. Whew. And she said, you know what? Not only does it look good, but it's pleasant. And it'll make you wise. And she ate thereof. Stop. What happened? You know what happened? Came and gave it to her husband. Now listen now, the Bible says she gave it, he did eat. And after he ate, the eyes were both open. Do you know what happened after she ate? She had gone against what God said. But it was when he ate, the eyes were both open.
Amen.
Paul writes to me, he said, Eve was deceived. Adam disobeyed. 1 Corinthians 15:22 again. And Adam all died. Bible says in Romans 5 and verse number 12. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. One man. And death passed upon. Why? Because all have. We've all been born into this family. Of Adam. Now don't get wrong. Now it's not Adam who did it all to us. We've done it to ourselves. But it just, my mama used to say it like this, it just in us. Yeah. Why? Because of Adam. Go back now. Think about it now. So Adam puts to sleep, and God opens him up. And then God takes out the rib. And the Bible said, and God sewed him up. That means he would open up. Can I tell you something I found out about opening up? You can't see it right there, but you can probably still see the remnants of it there. You see where that cut was? Do you see where the remnants of blood was on that? See, when you open something up, blood comes out. So I believe when Adam got opened up, blood started. And God take it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the power of the gospel. It's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so here it is. God says, okay, in the first man, I opened him up. The blood was shed. After the blood was shed, understand something here. God says he sold man back up. And what happened was Eve messed up, but it wasn't into the world till Adam messed up. So Jesus Christ comes on the scene. All things, according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 22, by shedding of blood. And he said this, without it there is no remission. Amen. The shedding with no remission. Please understand something. Jesus Christ up on the cross of Calvary, he had his blood shed. But one of the precious things, when you look at Jesus Christ over there, it said while he was up there, they stuck a spear in his side. And from his side came the blood and the water. The blood and the water. In Adam all died, but in Christ are all made alive. And here's what God is saying. The first Adam, I cut open his side and he messed up things. But the second Adam, I pierced his side and he messed up nothing. Amen. The second Adam knew no sin. The second Adam had lived without sin. The second Adam did not have sin manifested in his life. Let me tell you the power of the gospel. Are you with me now? Why is Christ able to save us and keep us and secure us? Because the first Adam, his side was opened up, blood came out, but he messed up and his blood became impure. The second one. Wow. The second one. Side was open. His head was wounded. His nails in his head. But he never, ever sinned. Amen. So all these people talking about you can lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation unless your head mess up. Christ is the head of gospel. Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head. He's the power of the gospel. Don't change it. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say people that are coming some other way, trying to preach that you can lose it, they don't know the one that's holding it for me. They don't know the one that never messed up. And God is trying to teach us something here today. You and I have got to go out there to the world and ensure them, help them, encourage them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there is no other gospel. And we can be assured we're preaching a good gospel because we got a good, great, and gracious Savior. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All I'm trying to say is this. Shasta, I didn't come to correct anything. I didn't come to try to take and make you believe something new. I came today to tell you, keep it the same. Keep it the same. There's people all over this world wondering, what must I do to be saved? I tell you what, recognize who you are, a sinner. Understand what you deserve to die and go to a burning hell. Understand what God did for you. He let his son come into the world and die and be buried and raised up the third day. And all you got to do, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I got saved in 1967, Maywood, Illinois, at the Rock of Ages Missionary Baptist Church. I didn't say Baptist, I said Baptist Church. Sometime we didn't put the P in there. Amen. I got saved at the Baptist Church. And I'm telling you something, I'm so glad that Dr. Wade kept it like it was. I walked down that aisle, told him I wanted to join the church. He told me, you don't join the church to go to heaven. He told me how to get saved. And the next week, I came back, and he said, what are you doing down here? I said, I want to trust Jesus as my personal Savior. I'm glad he kept it the same.
Amen.
Now, since 1967, it was a year. For real. It wasn't BC either. I got saved. And I've been preaching it the same ever since. I realized that some churches don't like what you preach and teach. But you tell them, we ain't changing. We're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And understand something. People will do it the way God said it, you'll see people saved too. You've been seeing them saved. So why you want to change from what you've been doing based upon the word of God? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Amen.